May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he bring you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. We shout for joy when you are victorious, and will lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He answers him from his holy heaven with the saving power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. O Lord, save the King. Answer us when we call. This is the word of the Lord.
Right, so I need the beavers to give me a hand with something. I need you to tell me what's in my box. So, Ryan, would you like to stick your hand in? Right, shut your eyes. There we'll make it a bit more fun. And take something out. What can you find? Okay, open your eyes. What have you got? What does it say?
First aid case.
So it's a first aid kit, isn't it? Okay, who else wants to pick something out of my box? And Tobias, okay, shut your eyes. Stand up. What can you find? What have you got there? A phone. Excellent. A mobile phone. So last thing, who wants to pick the last thing out of the box? There we go. What is it?
A whistle.
It's a whistle. Now, can you tell me, beavers, what those three things have got in common? Yes, Ryan.
So this bird is aid case. It sings to help people who died in the war. You put like bandages.
Well, if they've died, they're probably a bit late for first aid. But yeah, I get the general idea. Yeah, they're to help people who are hurt, aren't they? Right, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So what about the whistle and the mobile phone? What have they got in common with the first aid case? First aid kit, what do you think? Cubs, any idea what these three things got in common? Yep.
999.
Well, you can't dial 999 with a whistle, but you're getting there. Scouts, what have these three things got in common? Yes.
The whistle is used to alert other people that you're in trouble.
Yep.
The first aid kit to...
Yeah.
And the phone to call people.
Yeah, so they're all things you would need that would help you if you're in trouble. Yeah? Okay. So the whistle is an interesting one. You might not think that the whistle is much help, but if you haven't got a mobile phone, or more likely, if you've hurt yourself in a mountainous area where there is no mobile phone signal, can any scout tell me what is the international distress call on a whistle to summon mountain rescue? Yep. Three? Not three, no. Six. So six sharp whistles, then you wait a minute, and then you do it again. Right? And hopefully somebody will hear you and will be able to call Mountain Rescue or go and get Mountain Rescue for you. So, all things that we can use to help us if we're in trouble. But sometimes, those things won't help you out. And sometimes you may find yourself in a situation where you can't think of anything that could help you, any way out of the trouble that you're in. I'm going to tell you a true story from the Second World War. Some of you may have heard it already, or part of it, but I think it's one of those stories that are always worth hearing again. On the 10th of May 1940, Hitler unleashed a military onslaught on France and Belgium. Within days, the British army outmanoeuvred and unprepared, along with soldiers of other allied nations, found themselves with their backs to the sea and hemmed in by enemies. The German high command was able to boast with confidence that its troops were proceeding to annihilate the British army. But the total destruction of an entire army was imminent was a view shared by many in the military and political leadership of Britain. Prime Minister Winston Churchill found himself preparing to announce to the public an unprecedented military catastrophe involving the capture or death of a third of a million soldiers. But it didn't happen. On the 23rd of May, King George VI requested that the following Sunday should be observed as National Day of Prayer. Late on the Saturday evening, the military decision was taken to evacuate as many as possible of the Allied forces. On the Sunday, the nation devoted itself to prayer in an unprecedented way. Eyewitnesses and photographs confirm overflowing congregations in churches across the land. Long queues formed outside cathedrals. The same day, an urgent request went out for boats of all sizes and shapes to cross the English Channel to rescue the besieged army, a call ultimately answered by around 800 boats and ships. Yet even before the praying began, curious events were happening. In a decision that infuriated his generals and still baffles historians, Hitler ordered his army to halt. Had they continued to fight, then it's doubtless the evacuation couldn't have taken place. It would have been too late. Yet for 3 days, the German tanks and soldiers stood idle while the evacuation unfolded. Not only so, bad weather on the Tuesday grounded the Luftwaffe, the German Air Force, allowing Allied soldiers to march unhindered to the beaches. In contrast, on Wednesday, the sea was extraordinarily calm, making the perilous evacuation less hazardous. By the time the German army was finally ordered to renew its attack, over 338,000 troops had been snatched from the beaches, including 140,000 French, Belgian, Dutch and Polish soldiers. Many of them were to return 4 years later to liberate Europe. Now, you could argue that it was a coincidence, but it certainly wasn't considered so at the time. Sunday the 9th of June was declared a national day of thanksgiving, and encouraged by Churchill himself, the phrase "the miracle of Dunkirk" began to circulate. See, King George understood that, faced with the situation, there was nothing that they could really do, and so they needed to pray. That's really what the psalm that Abitha read to us is really about. It's written by King David, and like King George VI, King David was a king who knew about war. He was a great military leader as well as a king, and because of the attacks on Israel by the nations bordering them, he often had to fight and lead his armies. And he talks about, if you've got a Bible in front of you, have a look at it, in verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses. See, in the ancient world, chariots and horses are what you needed. If you had lots of chariots and horses, then you would be able to win battles. You'd be more powerful than everybody else. And so the army of Israel had lots of those. But David says, but actually, that's not what we trust in. Ultimately, that's not what helps us win our battles. That's not what saves us when we're in trouble. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. David knew that he had to pray. And the first part of the psalm is a prayer for everybody, that actually God might protect them, might save them when they're in trouble. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. David is praying that the people who hear this psalm will know that they need to trust in God. I think that's really true for us today. If you speak to many people here, they will have had experiences of answered prayer, of times when they've cried out to God because they really were at their wit's end, they didn't know what to do, and God has answered them. just as happened in that story that I told you from the Second World War. So, whatever situation you're facing this morning, and many of us may be here, and actually there may be things on our minds that are weighing heavy, things we're worried about, whatever age we are. Yeah, whether it's things that are going to happen at school this week, or things that are going to happen at work, or maybe a health situation in your family, or some situation that is really, you can't work out how you're going to resolve it. Let's bear in mind Psalm 20. Let's put our trust in God, and let's remember that at times of great crisis, as we've heard in that story, he has helped us as a nation, helped us. You know, we should never really have won the Second World War, it said. The Germans and their allies had better technology, more people, but somehow, with God's help, we managed to defend our freedom. And actually, there are some things that we only God can help us with. The reason we ask God to forgive us when we sang that song earlier is because our biggest problem is actually our sin that cuts us off from God and hurts other people. And the Bible tells us the only way that we can deal with that sin is by asking God to forgive us. And God has dealt with that sin by a sacrifice even greater than the sacrifice of those people we're remembering today, that he sent his son Jesus to die for us so that our sins could be forgiven and we could be forgiven and reconciled to God. So that's the message of that God will bring us this morning. But actually, we need to trust God in all things, and ultimately, if we trust him that when Jesus died on the cross, that's really what he was doing, that he was dying for us, then we can be given his gift of new life, life that lasts forever. If that's something that you haven't heard before, if that's something that you're not sure about, then do ask me. And it may be that as we pray this morning that you're able to accept that gift of new life that God gives us for the first time. If so, that's wonderful. Do please speak to me afterwards. We're going to have our 2 minutes silence now. What's going to happen?